Following their investigation, Avagon and Honey filed a $20 million lawsuit against the group they feel is responsible for the Lapenka bombing. Representing them in this potentially explosive case is Daniel Sheehan and the Christic Institute, a public interest law firm that has successfully prosecuted cases involving Karen Silkwood, Three Mile Island, and the Ku Klux Klan in Greensboro, North Carolina. The defendants in the Lapenka suit include Theodore Shackley, Thomas Kleins, General Secord, and others with connections to the CIA and the White House.
You've spoken very highly of Thomas Kleins and Rafael Quintero.
Yes, sir.
And you indicated that you'd use the services of both in your Contra or Iran project, some of them. Well, as you're no doubt aware, you and Thomas Kleins and Rafael Quintero and others have been sued in federal court in Florida for a vast array of alleged illegal and corrupt practices beginning as far back as 1960s. Did you know about that?
Of course I know about it.
Well, the allegations include the organization of assassination program funded by the drug kingpin in Laos and laundering of millions of dollars of dollars skimmed from sale of military weapons to the Shah of Iran, and they've got the provision of military services to Somoza and laundering Colombian drug money.
This suit, which was filed in May of last year, is the most outrageous fairy tale anybody's ever read. Nobody, including the Justice Department, credits it at all. It's being dealt with. I can only fight on so many fronts at once. I regard that one as a rather minor threat, which will be tossed out of court shortly.
Thank you very much. The hearing will stand in recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Clearly, the Reagan administration, in its policy with respect to Nicaragua, has again and again taken the position that the end justifies the means. They're perfectly happy to subvert domestic law, international law, because they have a higher goal in their own minds, and that is to fight communism.
Now, if we don't support the Nicaraguan democratic resistance and ignore the communist threat that exists right now in Central America, what in your opinion do you think might happen in the next 20 years in this hemisphere and maybe throughout the world?
It won't take 20 years, Senator. It will take a whole lot less. The consolidation of the communist regime in Managua will result in the spread of that revolution as they themselves have advocated. You will see democracy perish in the rest of Central America.
If the communists get control of Central America, which I assure you they will if we leave Nicaragua as a base for the Cubans and the Russians, then they'll be in a position to throw 50 or 80 million refugees into the United States. They can break our economy and never fire a shot.
If you deeply believe that this is a communist menace that is going to march from Nicaragua up to Texas and Topeka and soon take over the United States, maybe it would justify the means. But if you look back over the history of this thing, each one of these crises has not. Look at Angola. We were told 10 years ago that if we allowed a Marxist government to take over in Angola, we'd never get another oil tanker out of the Persian Gulf, but they would disrupt the sea lanes. Well, the Marxist government did take over in Angola. We were told that if we lost Vietnam and Indochina, that the whole row of dominoes would fall. What were the results? When we lose the war, all the dominoes that were supposed to fall, instead of falling, they become, just a few years later, what the World Bank, our own institution, calls the economically strongest region in the world.
Counsel, I don't believe that anyone who served in Vietnam, who saw what happened as a consequence of our efforts, when, in my opinion, we won all the battles and then lost the war, could ever be unaffected by that unless they were totally insensitive. I would also point out that we didn't lose the war in Vietnam. We lost the war right here in this city.
Well, what North was saying there was that America's real enemies are inside this country. And that would explain why North spent so many years under Bush's auspices preparing contingency plans for rounding up large numbers of dissenters if we ever go into another war. Now, you'd have thought that the committee would have been outraged by North's sort of declaration of war with a large segment of the American people, but instead of their disagreeing with them, most of them actually agreed with him.
The fear of an enemy within is not new in American government. In 1942, amidst the hysteria following the bombing of Pearl Harbor, over 100,000 Americans of Japanese descent were rounded up and put into mass prison camps. They were accused of no crime, given no trial, but remained incarcerated for several years. This internment of Japanese Americans is thought by many to be one of the darkest moments in American history. But could it happen again?
Concomitant with this whole operation and Oliver North's involvement in it was a plan to suspend the United States Constitution, as they referred to it, under a state of national emergency on the part of the president. Where that comes from is a specific program called REX 84, Readiness Exercise, number 84, or for 1984. And it was undertaken under the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Now, this was a national executive branch agency that was originally set up at the very end of the Carter administration to do nothing more than to coordinate the national flood relief, hurricane relief, Red Cross stuff, things, to get the government programs all brought under one umbrella so they could coordinate them.
When Reagan was elected to the presidency, he installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman.
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan, in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, you do have those standby provisions, and the plans are there, and the statutory emergency plans are there, whereby you could, in the name of stopping terrorism, apprehend, invoke the military, and arrest Americans and hold them in detention camps.
If the president ordered a direct strike into Central America, which was to be codenamed Operation Night Train, we've got the documents on it, that they would set up a concomitant domestic readiness exercise or war game scenario called REX 84, the main rationale of which was to round up 400,000 undocumented Central American aliens within a two-week period of time and incarcerate them in 10 military detention camps.
They rehearsed this, but of course, if you were rehearsing the rounding up of 500,000 aliens, you have also rehearsed the rounding up of 500,000 critics of the administration.